couple of folks joining me this morning. State Senator Tom Pischke is here. Also, Steve Haugart, also along. And first of all, I want to welcome both of you. Steve's been on the program a number of times, but Tom, it's our first chance to visit. So thank you so much. Good to see you both.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Let's start with the Attorney General and his letter, because I know this has been getting conversation on some of the statewide blogs. So the state Attorney General Marty Jackley yesterday saying that he had received a letter regarding a review of criminal conduct on part of some people in the legislature. This all centers around Julie Fry Mueller from Rapid City. And he basically quoted a case and said, as state attorney general, this is up to the legislature. These are the internal workings of the legislature. And as the executive branch, we can't take any action. And Steve, I'll ask you for your kind of legal assessment of that. How do you see this?
Well, I see this a little differently. The cases that are cited oftentimes, Gray versus Genep, and there's a couple of others that are a little bit older, those cases are really based on procedure and process. This isn't based on that. This is based on the actions of the members of the Senate. And they actually chose to interfere with the ability to vote. That's far different. And, you know, it's not just an internal process, but it actually is an interruption of the opportunity to exercise Senator Freimuller's right to be engaged in the legislative process. So the statutes that were cited in reference to the Attorney General and to the state's attorney are SDCL 24-7 and others within Chapter 2-4. And I think what frightens the status quo is that if anybody's convicted of one of these offenses, because this is not just a internal process of the legislature, this is actually a criminal statute in regard to a misdemeanor. And the fact is, if anybody's convicted of that particular misdemeanor, they can never hold public office again in the state of South Dakota. So I think that's why there's such an aversion to taking a look at the facts and applying the facts to the existing law. This isn't just a process, but this is a law.
Steve Haugart is here, and again, along with State Senator Tom Pischke. Tom, this is, our first chance to really have a conversation, and it's unfortunate it's kind of about this situation. But I would love to get your perspective. You know, I said on the air, as we've talked about it, I don't know Julie Fry Mueller. I'm not familiar with her. She's a Rapid City lawmaker. But certainly watching what has transpired has been deeply troubling to me. I know Steve Haugart. I've gotten to know him a little bit, through conversations we've had. And he's somebody of principle. And so when I hear him and I hear others defending her, that it causes me concern.
Yeah, it definitely should cause you great pause. You know, I guess I just want to take you back to January 26th, where this all started. You know, and at that point, Senator Freimuller had already been, I don't know if the right word is kicked out of caucus, but she had already volunteered not to go to caucus on that day because it all had transpired, started up bubbling that morning. It's my understanding that Senator Schoenbeck actually yelled across the Senate chambers at Freimuller saying, you're out of caucus. And already, totally handling the situation unprofessionally. So we go up to caucus that day at 1 o'clock, maybe it was a little bit earlier because it was a getaway day. And, the sentiment within the caucus and just Schoenbeck just riling everybody up was just unbelievable. I could not believe what was actually going on in front of my eyes that day. And we come down. I texted Julie as we're about to leave caucus. I said, get your lawyer ready because they're coming for you. And we come down that day, and Julie had not even known what the statement from the legislative staffer was yet.
Right.
So we had absolutely no due process. And we come down there, we make a motion, and she is out, just like that. And that's really, that's the just unbelievable the way these circumstances just rolled out here. And so, if if you have a situation where you set up the committee, you have due process, then we're having a different conversation here today. But that's not what happened here. And so just a complete abuse of power, in my opinion.
State Senator Tom Pischke is here along with Steve Haugard. It surely seemed to me is, you know, they kicked her out and she couldn't participate. And then they seemed to immediately, oh, wait a minute, we can't do that. Now we're just going to censure her. And they move forward with this censure, I think hoping that everybody was going to forget that they just kicked her out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it does seem like, and I told him in caucus like one day, I said, I think you guys really stepped in it here. I mean, because what they did was ridiculous. But, I mean, again, with no due process, just simply going downstairs, making the motion to immediately suspend. And then after we suspend you, now we're going to set up the kangaroo court and investigate. And so that's where we, you know, that's where we ended up with that.
I don't want to I approach this very cautiously because in regard to you know this whole issue, but Lee Schoenbeck, you know, I had a number of callers and we talked about this last week, and there were a number of people who were calling and they found behavior of Senator Schoenbeck really unbecoming and troubling. In the way that he had, and again, I don't know Senator Schoenbeck, but there are a lot of people who said they had gone out to appear to testify. It didn't feel like he was very dismissive, abrasive of folks, and there weren't a lot of good comments made about Senator Schoenbeck here. You work with him. So that's a perception that people have.
Yeah, if I may just comment on that, I guess, you know, I have found Senator Schoenbeck, some of his behavior to be very unprofessional, to be quite frank with you. And I listened to all the comments that was made on your show last Friday. And, you know, and I got to thinking about this just yesterday. I was in a legislative rules procedure meeting with Senator Schoenbeck, and he was on the board, and I'm sitting out there in the audience because I was proposing a rule. And I'm sitting, the homeschool kids were up at the Capitol yesterday, and I'm sitting with this mother and this homeschool kid right next to me, and Senator Schoenbeck refers to those SOBs over in the House. And I'm like, what are we talking about here? You're using that type of language with a little child here listening to you? To me, that's underneath us. As a legislator, I think we hold ourselves to a higher standard than using that type of language. And that's nothing new for Senator Schoenbeck, unfortunately. I mean, and I guess our colleagues in the Senate, they just look the other way and prefer to just let that slide by. But I, personally, that strikes a nerve with me. I don't think that we should use that type of language. And I'm a pretty gruff guy. I mean, I when I'm not on the air or not on the microphone, I'm not the most professional. I'll give you a hint on that. But when I'm put that suit on and I'm on the microphone or I'm, you know, in committee, I try my best to be a professional because that's what the people elected me to do. They elect me to represent them to the best of my ability, and I try my best to do that. And that also includes not using perverse language, not telling people they have a fetish, not calling people SOBs, not using that type of language. And I find that very unbecoming of him.
Believe me, I understand how you feel. Because it's that way for me. Yeah. I'm in front of a microphone. I spend a good part of my day in front of the mic. And so I don't want to fall into habits that are going to be, that, frankly, they're just bad habits, personal habits. But I don't want to speak in that kind of way to people, be that kind of demeaning to folks. So, honestly, I really appreciate your perspective on that. What else do we need to cover about this? What else do people need to know?
Well, I think everybody should realize that internal processes of 105 people, there's a lot of movement. There's a lot of exhaustion and snappy responses sometimes, that sort of thing.
Understood.
And when I served as speaker and then speaker pro tem before that, we probably handled a dozen different interpersonal issues. And I don't think any of those rose to the level of public attention. Well, maybe there was a couple. that actually got public attention. But most of the times you'd resolve things discreetly. And I think that's what this staff person intended to do. And I don't think that her account of what took place was accurate, but I think that she was under so much pressure from that leadership that she probably embellished her statements a bit. But be all that as it may, that's an adult. That was that was a staff person. There wasn't an abuse of that staff person. And if there was a concern about that, there should have been a thorough investigation instead of we got the formal written statement 27 hours before we had our hearing. 27 hours. And we, in the midst of the hearing, asked, can we have some additional time so we can depose some people, we can take some statements, maybe do a polygraph exam, something like that, to gather some information. No way. It was just rammed through, and I think that they were on the run at that point, wanting to just get rid of this thing, censure her, and consider this a thing of the past. But the fact was, she had already missed several votes. She did not have the opportunity to represent her legislative district, and she was cut off from resources in the LRC office. That wasn't the way to handle this, and I think this was just seen as an opportunity to blow this person up, and maybe she would resign. And if she would resign, they had somebody on deck ready to take her place.
That's troubling. That's first I've heard that. Steve Haugard and State Senator Tom Pischke, you're here. And again, I want to welcome you both. And Tom, I don't want to miss the opportunity to talk about legislative things while you're here. What are really, it's unfortunate that you've got to spend your time dealing with issues like this. I think it's important. I'm not trying to demean it, but it's really unfortunate you've got to spend so much of your time. You know, part-time lawmakers, I have great respect for the amount of work that you guys do. What are some of the other things that are kind of first and foremost for you that you're working on right now?
Well, first and foremost, we're going into the last week here of the legislative session, and this is really where the meat and potatoes are made as far as the budget process. And we just started talking in the Senate yesterday about tax cuts, and I made a speech on the floor yesterday saying I've been waiting all session for this. And so, I mean, because I'm all about tax cuts.
There you go.
To be quite honest with you, in my opinion, the state of South Dakota has been overtaxing our people for at least a year now. I mean, the House, I was part of the House last year, and we passed tax cuts left and right, and the Senate killed them with the help of the governor last year. So, but this year, you know, there is more of an appetite across the board that we're going to do something as far as a tax cut. Of course, the governor wants to remove the tax on groceries.
Right.
The House has made a very clear statement that they want to lower the sales tax overall from 4.5% to 4.2%. And now just the Senate yesterday, we passed a bill stating that we want to give property tax relief. And so here we are going the last week, and we're going to have our battles out. And there's going to be some negotiation, and hopefully we do something for the people, but you never know. So that's really where we're going into the last
week.
Well,
those are big issues, and you don't have a lot of time to try to wrangle and iron all those things out.
That's right.
What are some of the big sticking points to make, you know, kind of coming together?
Well, it's all going to come down to basically the leadership in both chambers. You know, I view the governor's obviously going to still have her stance on the grocery tax, and that's fine. You know, over in the House, Will Mortensen, and I really believe Chris Carr is leading the charge as far as trying to lower down the sales tax overall. And so there's going to be some negotiations there. And then, obviously, I would say Casey Crabtree, the majority leader in the Senate, and Lee Schoenbeck, and probably Gene Hunhoff are going to be on the Senate side as far as leading the charge on that. So we're going to see what comes down to negotiations there and see what all plays out. But I'll give you my word here and foremost, I'm going to be voting for all the tax cuts because I believe in less government, my friend. When I campaign to the people that I'm for less government, I mean it.
I'm really appreciative of the work you do because, again, I know it's a tremendous amount of work for people who are part-time lawmakers. And so generally they have other businesses and whatnot that they're also involved in. And we ask a lot of our state leaders.
Greg, I'll just point out, too, during this brouhaha about Julie Freimuller, what you probably didn't see as much attention given to was a $200 million spending measure for real estate development. That is not a function of the state. So while there's this flurry of activity about Senator Freimuller, and also with Senator Pischke, the way he's been treated since all this came about, you saw this $200 million spent. That's taxpayer money going into some developer's pocket so they can get a better deal. You're not going to see lower cost in housing. You're not going to see lower cost in rents. And so this was one of those things that passes through when everybody's dazzled with something else.
The which I know frustrates you. You and I have talked often enough that, you know, these issues, unfortunately, and I'm not trying, again, I don't want to diminish what's Julie Freimuller is going through at all, because I think it really is an important story. But you're right that in the midst of that, some of these other things that take place, it's really overwhelming for a guy like me to be able to follow all that.
Well, it's always a matter of follow the money, for one thing. And you can look through people's campaign finance reports, and you'll see what drives their actions. And you can see the embedded lobbyists, is what I call them. So many of the legislators are either employed by Sanford, Avera, or Monument Health, and a variety of other special interests. And nobody recuses themselves from votes. That's something that should be a, more of a standard process, but it's not. So you follow the money, for one thing, and then just follow the misuse of power. And it's just unfortunate in a state like South Dakota that we see that happen, but it does.
Well, I want to thank both of you for coming in again, Steve Haugard and State Senator Tom Pischke of Del Rapids. Nice to finally meet you, Tom. I appreciate both of your time, and it's good to talk to you both. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Good to meet you too, Greg.